Hello, and welcome to the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading and Brian McAvoy, where the focus is on consistency, because when you have the consistent part down, profits become easy.
Well, welcome, everybody. This is Brian McAvoy with another episode of the Consistent Profits Podcast. Today, I'm interviewing Etienne Cret of Desire to Trade. He's an accomplished trader himself. He's been around for a lot of years. He's worked with a lot of traders, and he's been doing a lot of cool things in the trading space, helping other traders. Etienne, welcome, and thanks for taking the time today, man.
Yeah, I was happy to be here. Always happy to be on your podcast. Anytime.
Yeah, you got a different background. So where are you in the world today?
Just arrived here in Budapest for a couple of days. So we arrived here 2 days ago. Going to be here for another 2 nights. So yeah, Budapest in Hungary for now.
Nice. Yeah, it seems like every time we talk, you're someplace new. So I always have to check and see where you are.
It's the fun part, definitely. Yeah,
indeed. Well, like we were just talking about, what I'd like to really get your perspective on, because you have been around a while, you've been through a lot of evolutions and development in the trading space, and you got your own personal path. One thing that I try to get across to people, though, especially traders who've been trading for anywhere from like 6 months to 3 years, and they're still kind of having a rough time with it. One of the things that I try to get across to them is that, there's the thing side of trading, your tools and charts and data feed and that kind of stuff. But then, there's the you side of it. And really you have to become a successful trader. So what are some of the traits that you think a person, if they want to be a successful trader, where they can do this for a living and live the lifestyle like you do, where you're traveling the world on a regular basis. If they want to kind of reach that level, what are some of the traits that are part of that person that they need to become?
I mean, that's a very good point. I've asked traders this along the way, like many, many times, because I do interviews myself. I do traders around the world. And I'm also curious, like, what the traits are, like what differentiates the ones who succeed versus the ones who fail, the one who like maybe are in the business for 6 months to a year and then they give up versus the ones who are there for 20, 30 years to really build a good career out of trading. I think the main things are a few things, and some are cliche, some are not so cliche, like kind of things people don't think about. But I think the biggest one is like perseverance. If you're in it for just like, you give yourself a month to succeed and then you're out, that's not good enough to thrive long term. Like you got to be willing to do whatever it takes to succeed and to get to the goals you want to be at. So all the traders I talk to, they always have like these ups and downs. They always have like good times, bad times. Sometimes they quit for a while. They go back to trading eventually because of a tough time or like a big drawdown or a bad trade they had, and they're willing to go back to it. Now that takes a lot of perseverance to do that. A few more things, of course, discipline. I think patience are big keys also. Being able to adapt to the market. Like we know markets change. We know things are always gonna be the same. You're not gonna trade like always the same thing from day one till like day 30 years later. That's gonna be a lot of different adaptation along the way. There's different things you have to be able to adapt and change along the way. Those are big keys. And the other one I think people don't think about too much is so we talk about discipline, patience, and I think focus. Focus is key. Like people think they can just like find a strategy on YouTube and trade it. And in some cases you can find a strategy online and trade it. But in most cases, you gotta be able to kind of find your edge, like find what you're good at, find where your skills are at, what you can do better than other people. So what are some things you can actually do better? What are some things you can focus on? And maybe it's only going to be like a few pairs, maybe a few time frames, maybe a few strategies that you really strive at, you're really good at. And that's kind of part of your trading for the long term. So I think these are pretty big keys, very general, very specific here. But in general, I think these things kind of help a lot to get results for people.
Okay. Well, one that I've heard mentioned a couple of times in conversations over the last couple of months, what's your take on a person having a passion for trading, where it's they just got a passion for trading itself, where they'd almost do it for free forever just because they love it so much? Where do you figure that comes into play with as far as being something about a person, a good characteristic with trading? What's your take on that? Is it really that necessary, or it is a big deal?
So I think you can have passion to start, or you can build passion over time. Both things are fine, I think. Some people who
Right.
join trading, they have a big passion for it. They want to make it work. They really want to be in the market, and I think that gets you far. That's a good thing to have, because then you're gonna persevere. You're probably gonna put in more work into it also, and that's a good
Right.
thing. Some
Okay.
people don't really know they trade out. They don't really have a passion for it, but as they go over time, they have a passion for trading that they then use to fuel their motivation to succeed. So I think it's important. I think you cannot really do well at trading if you don't have any passion. Like, you don't care about the market, don't care about the charts, don't care about the skills. It's very hard to succeed that way. If you just care about the money, that's not going to lead you very far. But if you care about, like, if you really want to learn that stuff and you really care about being able to be part of the market, I think that gets you a long way also.
Okay, fair enough. Now, over the last couple of years, you've gotten more involved in the prop firm trading space. Do you see much difference between, the characteristics for somebody who wants to be a prop firm trader versus more of a traditional trader, where your prop firm trader may be somebody who isn't already sitting on $25 or $50 or $100,000 to trade? They're coming at it from a bit more of a modest background. Versus somebody who, yeah, they've already, established that success. They're used to operating at a higher, level, particularly financially. What do you see as some of the differences there?
I think it's the same thing. It's always trading. You got to think about the same kind of principles overall. But I think the biggest key in terms of like prop firms is you got to see it even more. So like game of numbers, you got to see probabilities even more, because these prop firms, they have rules where you can pass or fail the account. And if you see that's like, oh, I'm gonna take this challenge and like pass it, then if you fail and you feel bad about it, sure, like you fail the challenge, but that's only a game of number. Anytime you take a trade, like there's a chance it's going to be right, there's a chance it's going to be wrong. You're going to lose that trade possibly also. So I see kind of prop firms the same way. It's like you can take a challenge. There's a chance you'll pass it. There's a chance you'll not pass it. You'll fail at it. And if you just look at it over like the large numbers over time, maybe you fail like three challenges, but you pass five of them. I think that's a pretty good stat. So it's all about like what kind of numbers are you able to achieve? What kind of probabilities can you put in your trading, like where the odds are, they in your favor or not in your favor to be able to pass the challenges. So it's not about like specifically like getting funded one time. It's more about like the long term and the big picture of things. I think that's what people forget, and it can make a big difference also.
Okay, fair enough. Well, with the people you've seen get into the prop firm trading space, what are you seeing as far as what you would consider a success level, where, yeah, they're coming in and not only are they, maybe surviving, but they're actually succeeding. What would you consider as the success rate of traders that you've seen over the last year?
I mean, it depends for everyone, but to me, success is like being able to create a good income out of it. And I'm just talking about like $1,000 a month. Yeah, it can be fine, but if you can go within prop firms and you can actually replicate your salary from your job, or if you can actually make enough money to sustain your monthly expenses, that to me is a good success. Now, that takes time to get there. Like, not everyone's gonna get there like in a week or in a month. It's pretty impossible. But over time,
Right.
if you can kind of get enough funding to get to a point where you can do that. Talking about maybe like $500,000 or $600,000 in capital, usually is the point where you start to get there. Then that to me is a good number. So 4K a month, maybe 10K a month on the higher end, and that's a good sign of success. Of course, you can go way beyond that, or you can
Okay.
go below that too if you want. Yeah, but that's a good kind of number for success.
Well, what percentage of traders, and kind of taking a different perspective on it, what percentage of traders they figure are actually making it, though, hitting that level where, yeah, it's affording them what they're really looking for, not just a little, income on the side. What percentage you say are actually making it?
So we know for a fact that with these prop firms, a lot of them, they publish their stats on a monthly basis. I think maybe a quarterly basis, and they show like what is the percentage of people who fail the challenge, percentage of people who pass it. I think the stats were somewhere about like 87% of people fail on the first challenge, and out of the 13% who pass, then about half of them lose the account before the first withdrawal. That's kind of the numbers we work with. So that's a very kind of tight number. But now we didn't get to like the 4K a month yet. That's only like the passing the first challenge. So I would say like same thing as like trading. How many traders who start trading will get to a full-time income eventually? That is a very small amount. And people tend to take the profits way before they're ready for it. So to me, that's a very tiny amount. So it's hard to calculate, but If you do it the wrong way, if you do it like too early in your career, or you try to really make it happen without any strategy before, like without any mindset that will match your strategy there, that's very hard to achieve. So it's a very small amount, but if you do it the right way, I think you have a pretty good chance to get there eventually. You gotta give yourself time too, like give yourself a year to get there, or maybe even 2 years, then you have a good chance of standing.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of where I was going. I've seen different numbers, and I've heard different numbers from different people. But like I said, I know you're pretty thick in the space, and so I wanted to ask you that question because I figured you'd have probably a more clear perspective on it. So, yeah, fair enough. Well, so of the over the last, let's say, year or two, just because again, prop firms become so much more commonplace. How many traders would you say have enough money to be trading their own money? Where like a $50,000 account or more, but are choosing to not trade their own money and are trading going with the prop firm as just a strategy of capital sourcing. What kind of percentage are you seeing on that as far as traders that are actually getting into the prop firm space?
This is only from what I like people I talk to. It's not based on any kind of number or anything like very, very fancy. But it's people who they have enough capital to maybe go for like a 50K account, maybe like $100,000 in their account. But they don't want to do it because, of course, it's their own capital. They could lose it. The cool thing about prop firms is like you can actually pay for a challenge. And usually the amount you pay is about 1% of the whole account. So if you want to get like $100,000 in capital, you pay maybe $1,000 for this account. So 1% of the account, which is pretty good if you compare this to putting your own capital on the line, maybe losing it. I think that's a pretty good number to aim for. You spend 1%, you have more capital. You're able to lose like 5 or 6 times what you pay for this account. That makes a lot of sense for most people. So I would say about it's about 50-50. People I talk to, someone use their own capital because it's less pressure. They feel like if they have their own capital, they can just like do whatever they want with it. They don't have any rules to follow. It's a good or a bad thing because then you still have like some rules to follow with your own money too. You don't want to blow up your whole account essentially. But then people want to maybe not use their own capital. Maybe they want to be able to reduce the risk a little bit that way, get more access to more capital, and then they can get prop firm's account for that reason also.
Okay. All right. Yeah, fair enough. Huh. Now, as far as what you got going on at Desire to Trade, I know you've got different services, different things that you do. What are you focusing on lately as far as your primary efforts in helping traders?
I mean, my goal is always to have people get more freedom and be able to travel if they like traveling or just spend time with their family, like whatever they like, and whatever freedom means for them is the key. So we want to find ways to either reduce the time at the charts or find ways to make them more profitable faster. So we've got algos where we actually like run the algos 24/7 or actually 24/5, and we don't have to be there to monitor the algos in the account. That helps a lot. If you're traveling, you don't have time to look at the chart necessarily. You're on a flight, you're on a boat, for example, on a train. And the Wi-Fi is spotty, like a few days ago in Georgia, where I was. You don't want to be looking at the chart at that time. You want to be able to enjoy the moment. So algos help for that. And the other thing is, of course, prop firms scale up the capital, so you're able to live a better lifestyle with more capital that way. And we've got kind of just strategies that you can do more hands-off and be able to just spend less time at the chart and enjoy more the moment or have more freedom overall. So that's the key.
Okay. Well, so I know you're always, looking to develop new ways to help traders. You got any new training programs coming up or other services that you're looking to present or maybe have here recently that you'd like to, make everybody aware of?
Well, it's in progress quite a bit, but we want to go more into technology. I think technology is a good way to get people to kind of just get better results overall. You can do a lot with technology, whether that's AI, whether it's being able to spot trades better, or just having ways to be able to know like where your trading is going and find ways to trade in a better manner. So I think technology is the way to go.
Okay. Well, as far as technology and especially AI, well, actually, one thing I wanted to ask you about. I'd heard, because I'm not actually trading through a prop firm myself, but I'd heard like last week that one of the prop firms had pulled their use for or use of MT5 and went back on MT4, and that kind of created a big or somewhat of a big bit, a little bit of a chaos storm. How did that affect you or any of the people that you're working with?
So it's been a lot of changes in platforms recently, mainly for the fact that, there's been a few bad players in the market. There's been a few platforms that didn't kind of follow the rules or kind of went against the traders. So that led to a lot of like more attention from the regulators wanting to see like what platforms are doing and stuff. MT4, which is like the main platform, MT5, so MetaQuartz, they start to restrict what platforms can use these platforms or not to trade or to provide the traders. And they block some platforms that way. They try to reduce it to kind of, I guess, limit their exposure to it. So a lot of platforms that move to different companies or different platforms. We had to move to a different platform, DXTrade, and I think another one's called MaxTrader. Since then, we're able to use CTrader also to be able to give our traders. But that's been a bit of a change. Also, the US traders cannot use CFDs on platforms. They were never allowed to trade CFDs, but now because of the change, before they could trade CFDs to the platforms, and they cannot do this anymore. So they're able to do it on different platforms now. But it's been a whole lot of a change in the past few weeks, definitely.
Well, any changes you know of on the horizon or do you consider likely to happen?
I mean, it's probably going to get more regulated. It's probably going to get safer also for the traders because there's been a lot of like flexibility with platforms. There's never been any kind of rules, any kind of things you can do versus cannot do. So I think that's definitely going to be welcome for platforms to be able to provide more transparency to traders, provide better conditions also, and provide a better framework around it. Platforms might change, that's for sure. But I think it's just going to be better for traders to be able to just be safer for them and more of a more strict manner.
Okay, cool. Well, are you looking at doing any expansions in your offerings, or are you focusing still mostly on your community and your trainings?
Yeah, I think same thing. It's gonna be more technology, more ways to help traders that way. But we like to work with traders one-on-one too. We like to give like more support than other people sometimes. So that's always the key. So yeah, definitely want to keep that up and be able to support traders along the way.
Cool. Well, what are your thoughts on this being an election year? We'll shift focus here just a little bit. What are your thoughts on this being an election year? How's that going to make things interesting for traders, or do you figure it probably really won't do much?
I think it definitely will. I think it's gonna be an election that's gonna be creating a lot of changes also. I'm not in the US, so I have no idea like exactly what's happening, but I look at the market and I see things that are pretty volatile. It's gonna get probably more volatile in the future also. I'm looking at the US dollar, Mexican pesos always, and that's a good pair for the election times. So definitely it's probably gonna make a lot of big moves in the quarter for that.
The dollar peso, huh? Okay, I never really paid attention to it. What's interesting about that, especially in an election year?
I mean, it's so related. So you have to, of course, the US dollar, then you've got to mix some pesos, which is like so close to the US anyway, because it's like two countries that are next to each other. A lot of people, especially politicians, talk about like the Mexican relation versus the US, like the wall and things like this. So I think that makes a big changes. Also, it's so close, like there's a lot of things that are connected or like interrelated. So I see it move quite a bit after any debate or any kind of news, any kind of yeah, new regulation. I see it move quite a lot usually.
Well, yeah, this being an election year, I mean, the US is always a big deal, but my understanding is there are like 64 countries that are having like major elections this year. Where else do you see are areas of the world to pay attention to?
I don't pay a lot of attention to the elections other than the US. It could affect a lot, could be not too important. I'm not really sure of that. I've never really paid too much attention to it. Or in like big countries like the US where there's like a lot of things that are happening. But it's not really my specialty to focus on the fundamentals behind it necessarily.
Well, do you think the what do you want to call it, social unrest that's been going on in Europe with like the farmers' protests, and like I said, Europe isn't nearly as peaceful and as happy as they've been in the past. There's a lot of
Yeah.
big upset going on. How do you see that playing into the markets and or just the global economy in general? Do you think it's going to have much of an impact on it, or it's just kind of temporary?
I don't know. To be fair, I'm not pretty sure about it. I think it's probably going to impact the euro in some ways. Maybe the euro will go down again. So we'll see how that plays out. But definitely, it's. I mean, you've got the war in Ukraine. You've got the, like you said, the protests in Europe. So I'm gonna have to pay attention to it for sure.
Well, you being the world traveler, you get to talk to people from all over the place. One thing that's always blown me away is, being an American living here in America, if I just talk to Americans, I'm always just only going to get this perspective. And that's one of the things I love about, working with people like you and other people that I know around the world. It's like sometimes I'm really surprised by the perspectives that people have. It's based on where they are in the news that they get. I mean, best example is back in when Bill Clinton, a long time ago, when Bill Clinton was in office here in the States, it was like just one scandal after another, and the sex and all this kind of stuff. And here in the U.S., we're thinking we must be the laughing stock of the world. And talking with my friends down in Australia, and they're like, "Well, yeah, we understand, you got that stuff going on there, but surprisingly, the guy actually represents you well." And I'm like, "Seriously?" And he's like, "Yeah, he actually presents himself and represents the U.S. in a very positive manner, and he's maintaining your level of respect around the world." And I'm like, "Wow, that's good to know," because otherwise, it was like. Around here, it's like not so high on the regard level. So, huh? So you got what other travels you got coming up?
I mean, I'm doing a 3-month trip in Europe. It's a crazy thing. I'm already a month to it now. So I've done a few countries over the past month. Still got 2 months to go. So we're heading to Romania. We're going to head to Italy, France, Portugal, Spain, all these things in the next few weeks. So yeah, it's gonna be fun. Then we go back to eventually Frankfurt to fly back to Thailand in a few weeks.
Nice. Wow. Very cool. Very cool. Well, we start off the call, talking about the characteristics of, a successful trader that a person should aspire to. You talked about discipline and persistence. What do you figure is one of the best paths for somebody to pursue if they actually are, really serious about this and they do want to develop and they recognize maybe, they're not as strong on these things as they should be? What's the best way for them to kind of accelerate their developmental curve? You got any recommendations, being a seasoned veteran yourself?
I mean, for me, the best way is always to be around traders, to talk with people who are doing exactly what I want to do and people who are actually good at it. You know, obviously, of course, you can get a coach, you can get like in courses and things, and that helps a lot. But to me, it was just like to be able to connect with traders in my city. I just like send a bunch of emails 1 week, actually see who I can connect with, like who's in my city, who's doing any kind of meetups that I can connect with. Anyone who like wrote a book or like talks about trading or something, I can reach out to them. Meet up for coffee or something, it's fine. A lot of people will say yes, you'll be surprised. And just being able to be around these people for like maybe a day or two, or like just talking to them over time, can like change your mindset and perspective on so many things over time. It's definitely a big key for my success. I think it's pretty cool to be able to learn from people that way, and something you cannot get if you just like watch videos or just sort of do everything yourself and try to master all these strategies by yourself.
That's excellent and very cool perspective. You're one of the first ones I've heard to bring that up. It's kind of like the notion that you become the average of the five people you spend the most time with. So yeah, it's good to pay attention and intentionally seek out the company of others that you aspire to be like. So yeah, that's really good advice. Very cool, very cool. Well, Etienne, I appreciate you taking the time today, man. This has been excellent. And for everybody that's listening, or watching this, definitely swing by a Desire to Trade. Etienne's he's a good guy. He's got some good programs for you, good training, good community, good resources for you. And if you like what you've been hearing, if you want to trade Forex, super resource for you. And definitely connect with him there. What social channels are you busy on lately?
I mean, best way is YouTube. I put a lot of content on YouTube every week. So YouTube is Desire to Trade, and we have all this stuff there. Instagram also a little bit, but YouTube is the main place to find us.
Okay, very good. So, yeah, again, Etienne, thanks for taking time for this. And everybody that's listening, I applaud you for taking time, out of the day to stop chasing strategies for a minute and actually, focus on learning and growing and developing as a trader. It'll definitely pay you dividends well for the rest of your trading career. And again, if anything that Etienne's got to say, or you just kind of like, he seems like a guy you'd like to hang out with, definitely seek him out. Act on what you've listened to today. And if you enjoy the podcast, make sure to subscribe. And other than that, we'll see you on the next episode of the Consistent Profits Podcast. Cheers.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us today on the Consistent Profits Podcast, brought to you by Inside Out Trading. Make sure to swing by insideouttrading.com and pick up your free copy of Break the Cycle, 10 things you can do to stop reinforcing the past and get your trading on the right track. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to subscribe on your favorite channel, and we'll see you on the next episode. Cheers.